Rick, let's begin with the move by the Florida House to eliminate Visit Florida and Enterprise Florida. These are agencies created by Governor Scott to boost tourism and to provide economic incentives for creating jobs.
You know, it was really quite astonishing to watch. I tuned into the committee hearing Wednesday afternoon in Tallahassee. It was a split vote by the committee in the House that was charged with responsibility for incentives for our economic development programs. I believe it ended up being about 8-5 in favor of moving that bill forward, which would eliminate Visit Florida, Enterprise Florida, and a total of about 19 different funded incentive programs and agencies and initiatives, all aimed at economic development. Very surprising.
Why are they on the chopping block?
Well, this is really the brainchild of House Speaker Richard Corcoran. Speaker Corcoran is an advocate of the kind of Koch brothers philosophy that says that economic development incentives really constitute corporate welfare. And the bill was introduced and argued very well in terms of portraying these incentive programs as unfair to the businesses that don't receive incentives. And so, of course, there was testimony. They allowed 1 minute per speaker from the public, and people spoke about their businesses, how they wouldn't be there today, how many people they employ if they hadn't been able to get that little push from an Enterprise Florida incentive. I think really, as we look at what these programs do, I think the governor is in the right here. You know, when it was just a couple years ago, actually, I was serving as a policy advisor to the Florida Senate at that time, when we required that by statute that all of the economic development incentives be evaluated. We put them on a 3-year rotation so that every incentive was looked at once every 3 years, and it's the legislature's Office of Economic and Demographic Research that runs the models and calculates the impact, and then they're aided by the OPAGA, the Government Accountability Office, which writes about the structure of the programs, the rate of utilization. And so we know what the return on investment is measured with a common yardstick across all these programs. This bill is a very blunt instrument. It's kind of unilateral disarmament. We're going to give up all of our industrial and economic development incentives at the same time as the other states are keeping theirs. Speaker Corcoran is essentially inviting Florida to bring a knife to a gunfight. And so I'm not sure that the bill's going to go much of anywhere. The Senate clearly is going to have objections to this, and I think rightfully so. You can't just unilaterally disarm. It will be a happy day when the U.S. Supreme Court hears a case saying that economic development incentives generally violate the Commerce Clause and therefore all states have to cease and desist, but it makes no sense to be the one state that ceases and desists.
Well, Rick, give us some idea, if you have an example that you can provide or two, as to how these programs have benefited the state.
Well, if you look at the governor's Quick Action Closing Fund, for example, administered, negotiated by Enterprise Florida and then monitored by the Department of Economic Opportunity once it's signed, these are generally performance-based contracts. If the companies that are recruited to move here don't create the jobs, then they don't get to claim the financial benefit against their state tax liabilities. And so it's really a no-risk proposition for the state. And when you look at the types of firms that get recruited into Florida, I mean, every state has an economic development strategy, and it's to steal jobs from other states. And so everybody else out there, from Texas to Georgia to Mississippi, is going to be offering big relocation incentives to corporate headquarters, and those companies know that they are worth something to most states. And so after they figured out the 2 or 3 or 4 states which have all the characteristics they need, the skilled labor force, the access to markets, the tax environment that they're looking for, then they negotiate the heck out of incentive packages with those remaining 2 or 3 states. And if you're not able to provide something, then you're out of the chase. And so Florida instead of coming in first or second or third on big deals, is going to start coming in fourth or fifth or sixth because they don't have that little sweetener at the end of the process. So that's the problem.
Can you highlight some big companies, whether that's statewide or in our region, that were able to come here and set up shop due to incentives?
Well, sure. If you look at the incentive program that the University of West Florida administered, the oil spill recovery program, Dr. Bryce Harris and his team did a great job with that. Navy Federal Credit Union received incentives when we were over a barrel about the 4-H property. 4-H wanted more than the appraised value. The Navy Federal Board of Directors didn't seem willing to pay more than appraised value, and that's where incentives were able to close the gap. And you know, we got great value for our money as state taxpayers with Navy Federal. And you can look across the region and across the state at big companies that take these location decisions very seriously. And if they can get an extra couple of million bucks added to their bottom line, then they want to do it. It's true that these deals are not generally available to everyone. In that sense, the Supreme Court of the United States might want to take a look at them. It'll be a happy day when we compete on education, workforce skills, business environment sorts of things, instead of having to give away taxpayer dollars. However, that's the game that we're in. And as long as the music is playing, you have to keep dancing. And so it's a puzzling position that's being taken by Speaker Corcoran and the House.
And when we talk about, say, Visit Florida, there have been some questionable marketing deals, but we're talking about an agency that markets around the country, around the world, to bring visitors to Florida, and tourism is one of our biggest economic drivers.
It is, and the notion that you could get rid of statewide branding and marketing seems to me to be very short-sighted, because there's nobody out there, whether it's Disney, whether it's Universal, the biggest players in the entertainment industry, in the visitor industry in Florida, not one of them is big enough on their own to do the optimal level of worldwide advertising of the Florida brand. Instead, that's why we collect taxes across a broad range of businesses. Locally, it's the tourist development tax. It would not make sense to rely on the collective of private businesses marketing the state. That just doesn't work. Instead, what we do is we take a little bit off the top of gross revenues and we spend that on marketing the state. That is the way that it ought to work, and I think that's the most efficient solution. There were mistakes made at Visit Florida. The notion that the director, the CEO of Visit Florida, could negotiate a deal with a particular entity, whether it's Emerald for cooking shows or whether it's Pitbull for music videos about Florida's sexy beaches, the notion that those don't have to be in the sunshine is just a non-starter in the state of Florida with our strong transparency laws. So yes, mistakes were made, but in getting rid of Visit Florida, we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
We'll hold it there, Rick. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandra.
You can hear the Economic Report Fridays. I'm Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.